Any of you got so many friends who are competitive? Like that friend that's always like challenging you, always has to one-up you. Everything you say, they're like, oh yeah, well, right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I had a friend like that growing up. And he lived across the street. We were like really tight, but we were always arguing. You probably like your best friend is the one you always argue with, right? Like you're always fighting. So like we were pretty tight, but we were so competitive all the time over everything. He's like, my dad's truck's bigger than yours. And he's like, no, my dad's truck's better. He's like, well, my mom cooks better. And we just like go back and forth over the dumbest things, right? Because we were competitive. So I'm over at his house one day and his mom used to drive him nuts that we would like just be in the house. So she'd be like, get out of the house. Any moms do that here? You're like, get out of my house, go do something outside. I'm tired of you being in here. Yeah, okay. So that was like our mothers. And his mom was like, get out of the house. So she would bribe us with food because she knew we loved food. So she'd put like snacks and stuff on the table out back, like on the patio, to get us out of the house. And it was one of those really nice days, all the windows are open, you know, the house is like airing out. And she's like, go outside and play. Like, get out of this house. And she's like, there's some snacks out back for you guys on the table. And so immediately we look at each other and like engage in this warfare, right? We're like, I'm going to beat you. I'll be the first one there. And we start like fighting, pushing each other into the wall, falling over the kitchen table. His mom screaming like, you boys get out of the house, you know? And we run and we're not even paying attention where we're going. We're just trying to get in the patio. And then bam, we both hit the slider door because they weren't open. So we left these like face prints, you know, the really bad ones where you can tell who it was because you plant it like Garfield so hard on the glass. So we had done one of those. It was always competition, like all the time between us. And it's just funny, like that video made me laugh because I know people like that are just so competitive on every little thing, even the dumbest stuff you wouldn't think to be competitive about. Some people just have it in them, right? And all of us can get that little bug, that competitive bug or that arguing bug where we want to debate or we want to have the last word in a conversation, right? And so as we're talking through our series, Let's Start Fires, we're talking about sharing our faith. And especially nowadays, like all you have to do is engage in a conversation with people either on social media or in person, and it's about Christianity or about the gospel, and immediately it turns into something else. Whether it's politics or you name it. There's like this whole slew of things that this gospel conversation will turn into if you're not careful. And it becomes an argument and a debate and who's got the last word. And so sometimes we can even look at like sharing the gospel and think, how will I debate these people? How will I go to school and talk to some atheist friends that I know? And like, how will I have this debate with them? How will I beat them in this logic like conversation, this battle of the wits? And as we're walking through this passage in 2 Timothy 1, I want you guys to notice something. Paul never tells Timothy, go out and debate people. He doesn't say, like, get out there and start some arguments. Go fight with people. Go have the last word. Be the smartest one in the room. He doesn't say that. It's never that. And so what I hear Paul telling us, and I want you to remember these words tonight, as we're learning how to share our faith, he tells them to stay positive. It's the idea of staying positive when you're having these conversations, because they can so quickly turn into just like an argument over the gospel, over whether or not Jesus was like a real person that actually lived on the earth, or whether he rose from the dead, or all these conversations that they can turn into. And he says, keep it positive. Don't engage in these arguments over these things. You guys probably know the story. You've heard in John chapter 4, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman by a well. And let me read it to you real quick. It's John 4, 19 to 26. It says, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. You can't say that nowadays. It's like, woman, right? But you could do it back then. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we know, for salvation's from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. He's called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Listen to this. Jesus said to her, I who you speak to am he. This woman engages in this battle of the wits with Jesus at the well. And then he ends by saying, the one you're talking about, the one you're arguing about that you think you know so much about, hey, it's me. You know, like, I'm him. I'm Jesus. I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah that you're talking about. And so here's what just happened. Jesus was walking along. He's really thirsty. He comes to this well. There's a woman there. And she's there at like midday. It's really hot because nobody else goes at that time. But she didn't want to see people because of her lifestyle. So she's trying to do it like without seeing people, get it done. Jesus happens by like at that time. It's really hot. He's thirsty. And she's like, get over here. Like, he sits down. He's like, can I have some water? And she's like, you're talking to me? this isn't normal. People usually don't do that because of a lot of reasons. And so they have this conversation, right? And as they're in this conversation, you know what she does? I mean, Jesus is just there, have some water and talk to her, give her some hope. And she goes, well, what about worship? How should we do worship? People debate that all the time. Some say this, some say this. Immediately she starts this like battle, this argument, this discussion over like what's right and what's wrong, and these deep things about worship and doctrine. And you see what Jesus does? He doesn't go, well, listen, you're wrong, and let me tell you why, right? And he starts like reciting things and Googling stuff on his phone and his, like, or the Holy Spirit for him, right? So he's like, no, I didn't do that. He actually says, listen, you're starting an argument. I'm not here to talk to you about that. But the day's coming when that argument you're having, it ain't gonna matter. What's gonna matter is that you know, and then he points to himself, me. I'm what matters. Not these debates, not the politics of your day, not who's right and who's wrong, who can yell the loudest, who can have the last word on Instagram, Twitter. It's if you know Jesus. So he ends this conversation or directs this conversation when she's trying to fight by saying, here's what matters. Me. And so as you're out sharing your faith and you're talking to people, and some of you guys already have people in mind, because I've heard you tell me, or you've told your group leaders, and you're like, there's some people that God just really laid in my heart that don't believe in Christ, they don't go to church, they think we're all crazy, they're atheists or whatnot. So you're thinking about a certain person in your head. And I hope you're not just trying to devise this plan on how you're gonna beat them in this argument or this debate that you're gonna have. Because that's not what Jesus was about. That's not sharing your faith. What it was turning her eyes back to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying don't know the word. I'm not saying that none of that stuff matters. We wouldn't be doing this if I didn't want you guys to know the word deeper. What I'm saying is when you engage in a gospel conversation with someone, your goal shouldn't be beating them in a fight. Your goal should be pointing their eyes toward Jesus, right? That's how Jesus did it. So as Paul's teaching us, or teaching Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:10, turn there with me or look on the screens. That's the one verse we're looking at tonight, 2 Timothy 1:10. This is the part where Paul tells us what that one thing is, that one important thing, rather than all the debates that we could have and the rabbit trails we could take and the arguments. What's the one important thing as you're sharing your faith with people? Paul's going to tell Timothy right now, 2 Timothy 1:10. It says this, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, it's simple, but there's some big words, right? So you're probably like, what's that first really big, scary word? He says manifest. Like, what is manifested? Here's what it means. Becomes reality. It becomes real. So walk through this with me. He starts off by saying, and which now. That word now is really big, so don't just scoot right past it and get to the rest of it just to be done with it. Now, what he's saying here is that like all these prophecies about Jesus, all these years that we've been waiting for this Messiah to come do this, all these things people have said would happen, and right now you and I are living in a time where it's all fulfilled. Like Jesus really did that stuff, and we can look back and be like, yeah, he's the Son of God. Yeah, he's the Christ. Yeah, he's the Messiah because he fulfilled all this stuff. You know that now is an awesome time to live. It really is. Because we get to see the blessings of being alive now. Of seeing that Jesus really did do those things. He really did rise again from the dead. And we're in his presence tonight in this room. Right now. he's here. He's honored that you guys are singing your hearts out to him. He's honored that we're studying his word, his love letter he wrote to us. He's honored that you're loving each other and serving each other, that we came here to worship right now. So that's a really big word, because in the past it wasn't like that. Before Jesus had come and fulfilled that, it was a different day, but now we live in this grace, this awesome state of grace where we have the forgiveness of God readily available to us. That's great news. As you're sharing good news with people, you got to know that right now is a good time to live under the grace of Christ. And so it's great news. So he says, "And which now has been manifested." So there's that big scary word, right? Has been manifested. It became reality. You know that God always does what he promises. He makes it reality. God doesn't just come up with like these big crazy plans or these like rituals and things, and he like throws it at people to have some crazy empty religion and they do it and like you're like, why are we even doing this? That's not God. You know that you serve a God, if you believe in Jesus, who finishes what he starts. He always keeps his promises. If you take notes, write that one down tonight. If you don't take notes, it might be worth writing that one down tonight. Remember that you are loved by a God who finishes what he starts. He always keeps his promises. That's your God. So the next time you're facing trials, or the next time you're having a rough day, or the next time you're looking at something, you're like, how will I ever get by this? You can remember that. God always finishes what he starts. And he always keeps his promises. Here we see through Jesus that what he promised had been manifested. His prophecies were fulfilled. His promises were kept. And here was Jesus who died and rose again for us to keep God's promises. And then he says next, through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus. So you know how God kept his promises? How he fulfilled those prophecies? Here's the center truth, the central truth of everything that we believe, you and I. So as you're sharing the gospel, this should be the thing, the big chunk that you share with people. Jesus Christ showed up. He came. He offers us life. And it's because of Jesus that God's promises were filled. His prophecies were complete. That's great news. He actually came. He died for our sin. He rose again and lives today. There isn't better news than that. So often we want to trade that good news for like these really temporal garbage things. Things that are not going to last, but they thrill us in the moment. And they feel good in the moment, but they don't last. And we'd rather focus on that and trade that in that we can have in that moment and dishonor God and hurt our relationship with him and hold on to this instead of celebrating the greatest news we've ever heard. What Jesus has done for you and me and how that should change our hearts, cause us to repent and follow Christ. But we want to trade the news in a lot, don't we? So here's what I get from that central point. Listen, as you're sharing your faith, remember to stay positive. Don't get dragged into the rabbit holes, the arguments. Sharing your faith isn't about politics. It's not an argument. It's not to impress people, to make you look smart, or an argument for you to win. It's sharing good news. It should be good news to you. Because if it's not good news to you, it's not going to be good news as you share it to someone else. If it's not good news to you, you're probably not going to share it with somebody else. So I want to challenge you to sit with the news of Jesus. I don't care if you've been a Christian your whole life, as long as you can remember. Sometimes we forget how good it is. We get used to it. And that's why we go back to the feet of Jesus and we open the Word of God and we read it and we're amazed by what he's done. We get in places like this with people who love Jesus and we worship and the Holy Spirit wells up in your heart and you're refreshed and you remember how great this news is. You and I were broken. Like we were on our way to hell forever. That was our eternity. Jesus said, no. He went up on that cross and he died for you. He rose again for you. You're not on your way to hell anymore if you've believed in Christ. You're going to spend eternity with your Creator. That's great news. Be reminded of what good news that is. There's no better news. There's nothing to keep the conversation more positive than the good news itself. It does it on its own if you focus on Jesus, if he is the central point of what you're talking about. So he says that, and then he says what Jesus did, right? Who abolished death. You know, like our biggest fear for humans is death. Everybody's afraid of death. Whether they want to admit it or not, they are. Death determines how you're going to live. People who are more scared of death tend to live more cautiously, right? More like they're scared. But if you're not as scared of death, you might be a little more reckless. And the decisions you make usually come down to that. Well, the funny thing is, when you know Jesus Christ, you don't have to be afraid of death anymore. It can't do anything to you. This verse says that he abolished death. Do you know that big word there, abolished? Means got rid of. He banished it. It is done. It is done with. Will never come back again. So for a believer who believes in Jesus Christ, you don't have to be afraid of death. Your life doesn't have to be lived on, oh no, what's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen when this loved one that I have passes away? Like this constant fear of the life to come or death if you don't know Jesus. And so the good news about that is that Jesus takes death and literally punts it out of the stadium. And he's like, listen, you're going to have eternal life. You're going to live again. You'll close your eyes one day probably. Jesus doesn't come back first, but you're going to open them again to the face of God. And you're going to live forever. Jesus put an end to the curse. That's great news. But he didn't just stop there. Listen what he did next. And he brought life and immortality to light. Life. That's what Jesus is about. Being able to spend eternity with your Creator the way he designed you to be in paradise forever. See, he doesn't just make life for you to like live this again. He doesn't just extend this that we're in right now. He's like, nah, we're making this thing brand new. You're going to have a life in a glorified body. See, he says brought life and immortality to light. You become perfect in a glorified body in paradise forever. Man, if that ain't good news, you fell in love with the world. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You like it way too much in this life. You like the brokenness. You like the death. Because great news is that we finally will be free of this junk and get to live forever with Christ. That's awesome news, y'all. This positive focus that we should have, not going negative as we're sharing our faith, is that Jesus brings eternal life to all who trust in him. So as you're sharing your faith with somebody and you're like, you find yourself going down all sorts of rabbit trails, I want to encourage you, go back to this. Jesus Christ gives eternal life if you trust in him. There's no better news they're ever going to hear in their entire life than that one phrase. It's just a matter of you believe in it. Do you? I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you tonight. Like, do you believe that? Do you believe that Christ really died? Do you believe that Christ really rose from the dead, that he's alive today? Do you believe that eternal life is a real thing? See, we do this thing sometimes when we go to church. We just kind of like, we say it, but it never reaches this. We get used to hearing our pastor talk about it and singing songs about it, but it never reaches your heart. And so we have a bunch of Christians walking around, and I'm going to put that in quotes, because a bunch of people that say they're Christians, but they're just not excited about the news of Jesus. There's no excitement in their heart. The only way you cannot be excited is if you're not really believing that it's real. That you have eternal life waiting for you, and it's a billion times, an infinite number of times better than what you're experiencing right now. And so as you trust that gospel, and that's how he ends this verse, he says, through the gospel. As you trust that gospel, you're realizing it's what Jesus did. You didn't do any of it. It's not your good behavior. It's not you pleasing God or like giving up like all your sins first. So he comes and he's like, oh, good job. Now I can forgive you. No, none of that. While you're in the middle of your trash and your sin and hating God, he comes along and Jesus dies for you. Romans 5:8. He does all the work. It's when you go, wow, that's what grace is. That's what that feels like, to have someone forgive me when I don't deserve to be forgiven. That's what it feels like to know I should be in hell, but instead Jesus Christ died so I could go to heaven. And your heart believes it. It becomes incredible news, the best news you've ever heard. And you can't help but tell people. That's what your shirt is all about. I can't help it. I got to tell you. I got to start some fires. I got to kindle some stuff up and let people hear this news, because it's too good to hold to myself. Other people have to hear this. I don't want any of you to put that shirt on and force yourself to believe something you don't actually believe. I don't want you to go out there throughout your week and go, well, Rob asked me to do this, so I better. Don't do it for me. Please don't. Don't do it for your life group leader. What I want you to do is look at Jesus. Just like he says here. Let Jesus convince you. Let Jesus fill your heart up with joy. Let Jesus convince you that this is the great news you've ever heard. Greatest news. So you'll want to go out and be like, hey, I got to tell people. So it's real. We don't need more fake Christians. We want people who are real, who are actually in love with Christ. And you can only do that by spending time with Christ. John tells us to abide in him and he'll abide in us. Spend time with him. Let him abide in your heart and convince you of how good this news is, so you can stay positive. Otherwise, it just turns into a fight. It's just an argument and a debate. So tonight, as I wanted to close by doing something a little different. I want you guys to be able to leave this place and know how to verbalize, because sometimes we don't. Like, I'll get up here and be like, the gospel, and I'll say that word a lot and like tell you stories about it, but don't actually tell you some things you can like use yourself when you walk out the door. So tonight I want to do that. There's three phrases I want you to repeat after me. They're not magical phrases, right? You're probably not going to use them as you share the gospel. They're just for you to verbalize and have in your head, this is what the gospel is. This is how you verbalize it. You might say it a million different ways, and that's cool. But I want you to have something so that when you leave, you could say, I've said the gospel with my own lips tonight. When you go to your life groups, maybe you guys could talk about it. Talk about those phrases. Say it to each other. Practice again. But just repeat after me a couple phrases, all right? This isn't a weird thing. It's just for you to hear it. I'm a sinner. When you say that, I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
Do it one more time together. I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
Jesus died for me and rose again.
Jesus died for me and rose again.
If I repent and trust him, I'll be saved.
If I repent and trust him, I'll be saved.
That was pretty good. I think you could do it louder. Let's do it one more time, right? I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
Jesus died for me and rose again.
Jesus died for me and rose again.
If I repent and trust in him, I'll be saved.
If I repent and trust in him, I'll be saved.
The gospel can be that simple. That's what I want you to take from that. It doesn't have to be this huge sermon that you prepared that's going to take like a whole week of studies to go through with someone. It's just a couple phrases of truth, and those are the key points of the gospel. We're all sinners and we're all broken and we all need Jesus, but luckily Jesus died for that sin and rose again to give us life. And if you trust in him and repent, you will be saved. You guys can do this. First step, fall in love with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus so that he will be your greatest joy and this news will be the greatest thing you've ever heard. That's the only way it happens. Then you're going to want to share. It's simple, positive, good news. All right? You guys close your eyes for a minute. The band's going to come back up and lead us in worship. And as they do, I just want to ask two questions tonight. Because there may be some new people here. There may be some that have been here a long time. But you've never actually believed the things that we just said together. Like tonight, maybe for the first time, you're realizing you're a sinner. You are separated from the God who created you and who loves you. You are destined for this place called hell, which is eternal punishment when you die. But God loves you so much, he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you in your place. So tonight, Jesus is saying, like, I died for you. I love you. And you can be forgiven because he didn't stay dead. He rose again. He's alive today because he is God. He beat death. And you can too. If you trust him, if you repent tonight and say, God, I'm yours, God will forgive you. And maybe that's you tonight. You've never done that, but you want to know that you're saved. You're right with God. So will you do me a favor tonight if that's you? Could you just raise your hand up and say, that's me tonight, Rob. Will you pray? Because I don't know that I've ever done that. Like, I don't know that I've ever met God or given him my heart like that, but I do want to be forgiven. Would you slip your hand up and just say, hey, Rob, will you pray for me this week? Slide your hand up in there and say, that's me. Like, I need to accept Christ and I need to be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like, hey, listen, I haven't been excited about the good news. I'm trying to do it because it's a youth group thing. It's like a t-shirt thing we're doing. But I want to be excited about Jesus. I want him to be my greatest joy. I want to go share this because it's exciting for me and it's great news and I believe it's true. But Rob, I need some prayer. I need God to do that in my heart. Will you help? Will you just pray that God would do that for me? Would you slip your hand up if that's you? Like, just pray that God makes this thing just explode in my heart. Set a fire in my heart tonight, Lord. Who needs a fire started in your own heart before we go out into the community? Anybody? Yeah, I see your hands. Anybody else? Start that fire in your own heart. Yeah, I see you in the back. Yeah. Awesome. Pray with me as we close and we'll continue to worship. Father, you saw the hands, Lord. You know.